hope and pray that the Lord will bless this. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. We're here this afternoon because two believers in and on the Lord Jesus Christ want to confess Him in believer's baptism. We're here for a confession. We're here for an open admittance, an open declaration, an open acknowledgement of union with Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing here. We're here to openly confess union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to confess something. But more importantly, we're here to confess someone. The man, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Look right here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." How comforting is that? That's the Lord speaking. "Whosoever shall confess me." We're here to confess Him. There's a point I want to make come the end of this message, and it's this. We're here to confess Him. Union with Him. Love to Him. You know, it's one thing to want to be married. I wanted to be married before Hannah and I got together. And it's one thing to want to be married, but it's another thing to know who you want to marry. Big difference. In this ceremony, we're confessing the fact that we know whom we have believed. Believer's baptism is different from religious immersion in the sense that we're confessing a man. We're not just confessing, "I want to go to heaven." We know whom we have believed. I want to be united to Him. This is not about church membership. It has nothing to do with it. This is not about finishing the last step of salvation. Well, everything's looking good. It's going well. We just need you to get in the water. It's not about that. This is about confessing a loving union with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the substitute for sinners, the Prince of Peace, the altogether lovely one, and His name is Jesus Christ. This is an open declaration that I died in Him. Union. What does that mean? Here's what it means. It means He died so I don't have to. That's what it means. Why? How? Go with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 verse 11 says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That is union. This confession says, I died in Him, and I rose in Him, and I live in Him, and He lives in me. Union. That's what this is. It's union. If we get to the heart of baptism and the heart of salvation, it's union. That's what it is. It's union. Now, why do we become compelled to confess this? Believer's baptism is actually a humbling thing. It's kind of embarrassing. It really is. It's hard to do. What we're saying is, I was wrong in religion. All my life, I wasn't confessing Him. I was confessing myself. Look at what I've done. Well, at least I've done this. Oh, I'm thankful in my mind that I got that taken care of. Confessing my own works. It's a renouncing of who I was and what I believed before. That's half of what this is. Just as much as it's an acknowledgement of who He is and what I believe now. What compels a believer to want to have this ceremony? What compels a believer to officially come forward and say, I want to confess Christ? You know what it is? It's the same thing that compels a man to spend all that he has and get down on one knee. Love. Love for one person. Does love begin at the wedding ceremony? Man, I'm looking forward to getting married. I can't wait to love her. No. It's a confession of what's already there. Does salvation begin at the baptism ceremony? No. It's a confession of what's already there. Those of us who have confessed marriage, we all have our own story to tell. The story of how our union came about. And every soul that has been united to Christ has a story to tell. Every single one. And interestingly enough, every soul that has been united to Christ has the exact same story. Let me show you what it is. Go with me over to Genesis 24. This is a love story, and we're going to look at it from the bride's point of view. Genesis 24, verse 1 says, And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now look at verse 9. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swear to him concerning the matter. The first thing that happened in this union was a covenant was made. That's the very first thing that happened. The father purposed to choose a bride for his son. And this is amazing. This hit me. I studied this and this just hit me. Think about this. He said, this bride is not going to come from Canaan. Canaan is the promised land. That's where we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to a land flowing with milk and honey. And the father told this servant, my son's bride is not going to come from the promised land. She's going to come from Ur of the Chaldees, the land of idolatry. And our Lord could have given anything or body to His Son for a bride. He could have created a perfect, sinless being that was never outside of the realms of glory. But He said, His bride is not going to come from here. You go all the way down there. And that's where you're going to choose this bride from. Abraham represents the Father. And his servant represents the Spirit. The Spirit's going to go call a bride. That's what's about to happen. Verse 10 says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. This servant went straight to the well. And this word is the well. When we're dying of thirst, and when we need refreshing, we come to God's Word, don't we? That's where we come to, God's Word. And by His mercy and grace, we draw out living water. Well, this servant is going to meet the bride of the Son at the well. That's where he's going to... That's where the calling is going to come from. And he's going to meet a particular bride. Okay, look at verse 12. It says, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. This is what our Lord said about His bride. Amazingly enough, my people are going to be willing in the day of my power. Verse 22 says, And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring and half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. That's fruit of the Spirit. Faith, hope, love. Verse 23 says, And said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. So this servant came to Rebekah's house. All right, now look at verse 33. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, Speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly. And he is become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds, and silver, and gold, and men servants, and maid servants, and camels, and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. He said, I'm here for one purpose only, and that's to tell you about the son. It's the only reason I've come. Verse 37. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then this servant repeats what just happened. This servant revealed the covenant. He said, This is what happened between Abraham and myself concerning a bride for the son. He revealed the predestination of how he came to this well. He revealed the irresistible grace. He revealed the gifts of faith. He told them everything that had happened. Verse 48 says, And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. And let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold, And what do you think those are? He brought forth the unsearchable riches of Christ. And then look after that, it says, and raiment. He put a robe on her. What do you think that is? That's a robe of righteousness. The blood of the Lamb. Jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days. That means 1 year. At the least 10 months. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Now, a confession is about to be made. Well, let's call her and see what she says. She's heard about a man who is the son of the highest. And he's the heir of all things. She's been given the gifts and the calling of God. She's already been given a robe of righteousness. She's heard about him. She's seen a glimpse of him with eyes of faith. But she has not yet, with her own two eyes, seen this man. Everything that she's seen of this man is as though it's through a glass darkly. Verse 57 says, and they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Whom having not seen, she loves. She already loves him. Is this your story? This is mine. Rebekah, what do you confess? I will go. I confess his name. I want to be his bride. I want his name to be my name. That's what I want. Wherever he lodges, that's where I want to lodge. I want his people to be my people. I confess that he is God, and I want him to be my God. Verse 58 says, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now this point right here, this verse, this point right here is where we all are in our journey. In our own story, this is where we are right now. We are in the journey. We're right now traveling through the land. And God's Holy Spirit is leading us along the way. And I've always loved the thought of this. We're going to take just a minute and read between the lines. The distance from Ur to Canaan is about 550 miles in a straight line. And they didn't travel in a straight line. Most of their travel, they had to follow the Euphrates River. So it's estimated that they traveled between 800 and 900 miles on the back of a camel. It took a while. It took a long time. Now, all along this journey, you know, and I don't think I'm reaching very far here, you know that Rebecca is asking this servant, "What's Isaac like?" The whole time. "Tell me about Isaac. Tell me about him again. What all did you say about him now? I'd kind of like to hear that again." And if this servant would have started telling her about what materials the streets were made out of in Canaan, or the newest mansions that had been built in Canaan, Rebecca would have said, "I don't care about any of that stuff. You tell me about Isaac. I just want to hear about him. Tell me about him one more time. Just tell me one more time." So this servant, being a faithful servant to his master, what do you think he did? He glorified Isaac. He told her that Isaac was the promised son. "Rebecca, you don't understand. This was the promise. This is the miracle child. God told, this is the child, and I'm going to call all my people through." He said, "Rebecca, your husband is the promised one sent from God. All kindreds of the earth are going to be blessed by God through Isaac," being a type of Christ. God said, if anybody's going to be called, if anybody's going to be blessed, it's only going to be through your husband. He is God blessed forever. She said, "Tell me more." That servant said, "Let me tell you about his character. You've never met a man like this man before. He loves his father. His father loves him. He is a faithful and obedient man. All of the word and the will of his father, he obeys. All of it. He obeyed even to the point of death." Let me tell you what your husband did one time. There came a time when the father had to kill his own son. And not only did Isaac not rebel, he carried his own wood to the sacrifice. The father laid his own wood on him. The father said, "Son, you must be the sacrifice." And Isaac willingly crawled up on that altar and said, "Not my will, thine be done." Because of that, Rebecca, because he made himself an offering for sin, his father has highly exalted him. And amongst the seed of Abraham, all his children, he's given Isaac a name that is greater than every other name. He's put every single thing he has into his hands. Isaac has been appointed heir of all things. And Rebecca, in your union to him, with him, you are going to also freely receive all things. You know what Rebecca had to be thinking? Why me? Why me? What did I ever do to deserve this? That servant said, "Nothing. You didn't do anything. It was all done for you, and it was all given to you by my master. All glory, honor, and praise be unto my master." Now look at verse 61 with me. Genesis 24, verse 61. "And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels." and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." There he is, in all his glory. I told you. You know what she was thinking? "You didn't tell me the half of it. The half wasn't told. I could never have imagined his beauty. He's the most glorious thing I've ever seen. I'm so unworthy of him." The end of verse 65 says, "Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." What an absolute privilege it is to confess union to the Lord Jesus Christ. "I died in Him. I rose in Him. I live in Him, the altogether lovely one." Who on this earth would not want to confess union to Him? Who on this earth? That Ethiopian eunuch said, "Here is water. What doth hinder me?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And that eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." I believe that too. You believe that too, don't you? And you believe that too, don't you? Well, let's go confess Him. All right.